Okay, so today I'm going to be talking about some research we've been doing for the last 3 years on the feeding behaviors and ecology of Western cherry fruit fly. First, as a way of introduction, Rigley's indifference is a major quarantine pest of sweet cherries in the Pacific Northwest of the United States. It is found throughout the commercial cherry growing areas, and while it's very rare in orchards, which is fortunate for growers, it is very common and abundant in unmanaged and residential trees, which could serve as sources of infestations in commercial orchards. A little bit more about the fly. It's native to the wild bitter cherry up there, but it has infested commercial cherries in the Northwest since at least 1917. Now, despite its pest status, despite its pest status, very little known is about its feeding biology. So with that in mind, the purpose of this work is to understand the feeding ecology of cherry fruit fly and how it relates to food abundance in nature, and also to provide practical data that may explain foraging behaviors and that might even help in the use of food baits for fly control. The specific objectives are listed here. One is to identify foods and food sources of cherry fruit fly, to determine the feeding frequency in these different foods, to determine the feeding locations of flies, and then to sort of tie things up somewhat, to determine seasonal abundance of food sources, and then to relate the abundance to seasonal nutrients in flies. This is a typical tree in the central part of Washington that's infested with cherry fruit fly, an unmanaged backyard tree. First, the identification of foods and food sources of flies. We did hours and hours of observations of fly behaviors on cherry trees, and we categorized behaviors obviously based on what we saw, and four are shown here. First, we have this type of behavior that's been termed grazing in the literature. This is where the fly dabs its mouth parts onto a surface such as a leaf surface, a surface that has invisible substances, at least substances not visible to the human eye. We also have seen flies feeding on extra floral nectaries. This has been recorded for other fruit flies, but not for this western cherry fruit fly. And I thought before this past couple years that it doesn't exist in this fly, but apparently it does. Bird feces is a common food for the fly, as it is for other fruit flies. And then we've seen flies feeding on juice on fruit surfaces and also on leaf surfaces. Juices on leaf surfaces. And also a note on honeydew, it's been stated in the literature that honeydew, Homopteran honeydew, is a food source for fruit flies, and for other fruit flies it is, but I've never been able to confirm that for cherry fruit fly. And, it seems sensitive. At this point, honeydew is an unconfirmed food source for the fly. Going on to the second and third objectives, feeding frequency and foods, we wanted to determine the percentages of flies that are engaged in specific behaviors. First, we concentrate here on the leaves here. When we watched flies and recorded their activities, we found that the majority of flies that were feeding were seen feeding on these invisible substances on the surfaces of leaves, which is what I call grazing here. Many fewer or a lower percentage on extra floral nectaries, EFNs, relatively low percentages on cherry juice and bird feces. So the conclusion here is that the predominant feeding behavior is grazing on the surfaces of leaves. And when we compare grazing, the feeding behaviors, locations rather, on leaves and fruit, we find that the fly predominantly feeds on the leaves as opposed to the fruit. And it's hypothesized that this grazing behavior results in the ingestion of what has been termed leachates. This term has been around since the mid-1950s. And it originated from plant physiologists. And these leachates are composed of diffuse sugars, amino acids, bacteria, and minerals. Apparently all or most of the nutrients that flies require for survival and reproduction. Now, within leaves, we're also interested in whether they were feeding on tops and bottoms. Here are data showing observations of flies feeding on the leaves. This first graph shows flies that we first saw on the top of the leaf. And as we see here, let me get this cursor to work here. When we spotted a fly on the top of the leaf, we saw that it was more likely to subsequently graze on the top than graze on the bottom or feed on the bottom. A few fed both on the bottom and the top, and the rest did not do either of those. In other words, they rested. But when we first saw flies on the bottom, the chances that they were going to feed on the top and bottom, or the percentages that fed on the top and the bottom, were relatively low. And most of the ones that we saw on the bottom ended up just resting. So from this, we can conclude that the flies, these cherry fruit flies, feed mostly on the surfaces of leaves. Okay, so, our fourth objective, to determine seasonal food abundance. Here's one of the foods that we know that the flies feed on. This is nectar. And we see percentages of extrafloral nectaries with detectable nectar. We see that a very low percentage of these, extrafloral nectaries actually have detectable nectar. So it appears to be not a very abundant food source. Just going on to other foods, confirmed foods, cherry juice and bird feces. Here's a graph that shows the abundance of leaves with cherry juice on them and the abundance or numbers of leaves with bird feces. As we see, as the season progresses, more and more of the leaves become, I'm sure, contaminated, having cherry juice on them and bird droppings. So very low numbers in the beginning of the year. So there is a season effect on the abundance of these two foods, at least. And we're currently doing analyses of nitrogen and sugar from these surfaces to further quantify seasonal effects on potential foods of flies. So we have the seasonal effect on at least these two sources of foods. But we don't see a seasonal effect on the protein levels in flies here. So we chemically analyzed the flies, and we showed that there's no seasonal effect on protein levels despite the differences in the abundance of bird feces in the environment over the course of the season. And we also analyzed the flies for sugar contents. Again, here, when we did the analysis, there was no season effect, again, suggesting that the flies are not dependent on the increase in cherry juice on leaves later in the season for their nutrition. And so this is a work in progress. This is by no means a complete data set yet. We're still analyzing more flies and analyzing nutrition sources of nutrients in the environment. So again, in review, there is a season effect on at least some of the food sources that we examined, but no effects on the seasonal nutrition contents in the flies, suggesting at least for the moment that the flies are not dependent on these food sources, and on the increase in cherry juice and bird feces, at least. So I wonder whether or not some of this can be traced back to the flies' feeding behaviors on its native host. Here, pose a hypothesis that they're not dependent on feces and bird feces and cherry juice because of the native host. You see on the sweet cherries, we often see cherry juice on the leaves, as shown here, and bird feces. But when we did really extensive observations of these two food sources when we looked for these two sources on bitter cherry as native hosts, we didn't find any. And so it leads me to suspect that perhaps the fly has evolved its foraging behavior on these bitter cherries because of the lack of these other food sources on the trees. So implications and hypotheses that have come from the study with respect to feeding ecology and behavior, the main food source appears to be these non-visible substances, which have been termed leachates in the literature. And these leachates seem to be obtained mostly through grazing behavior, and this behavior may have evolved on its wild host. Foraging may occur until a stable nutrition level is reached, and it appears to be independent of the cherry juice and bird feces that we saw in this study. And again, just an hypothesis that it may have evolved in environments where these are scarce, and so the fly is dependent on these leachates as opposed to these other extraneous food sources. With respect to food basin control, these extensive grazing behaviors for diffuse food sources spread out over a very wide area may result in chance encounters with insecticide droplets. And further, because the flies feed mostly on the leaf surface, it's possible that baits applied there may be found more quickly than those that end up on the bottom of the leaf, thus killing the flies before they're able to oviposit. And that's all I have for today, and if there are any questions, I'll try to answer them. Yes, Don?
Did you find any evidence of fungal hyphae on the surfaces of the leaves or on these materials like bird feces applied by the grazing on?
No, the answer is no, we didn't look for that, but I think it's well known that on the surfaces of leaves are many microbes. Among them are fungi and bacteria and yeasts. So I suspect that if we look a little further into this, and I hope that we have the we'll have the resources to do that, we will find them. Yeah. Okay. Sue?
Yeah.
Yes, yes, excuse me. We did a study a couple years ago where we exposed flies to ripe cherries and gave them those ripe cherries as a sole source of food, and they were able to reproduce and produce eggs. Because cherry juice itself is about 2% protein. It's low percentage, but it's there for them.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome.